Sanatan, you said that only this philosophy can explain the existence of sin. So,
that's
what
right.
You meant in the beginning.
That's right.
This evolution only.
Unless you know these three terms properly and their interrelationship. Hello? Yes, Mukesh? You can. Now, when we say what is the reality, the answer is reality is one, that is the originator of the world, which is itself the essence and stuff of the world, and which is the Lord of all that is manifested. Such is the nature of reality. When it is said Atha Brahma Jigyasa, the inquiry into the nature of the Brahman, then the answer to Brahma Jigyasa is this: Brahman is Purusha, originator. Brahman is reality is Brahman, being the essence and stuff, and reality is the Lord of all that is here. These three put together is the nature of reality. It is that which distinguishes the Indian answer from all other answers of the nature of reality. There are many other answers also, but this answer is a complete answer. It is the integral answer to the question as to what is reality. It integrates different answers which have been given. According to some answers, reality is only the Lord. According to some, reality is only originator. He origins the world and then leaves the world to its own fate. According to others, reality is itself the world, but not the Lord, not merely the originator. So that answer is not given there. So integral answer, it is at once Brahman, Purusha, Ishvara. And their interrelationship of these three is a complexity which explains this world. This world is nothing but interrelationship of Brahman, Purusha, Ishvara. And many paradoxes of the world experience can be explained only if you have got all the three answers together, and if you know how the three are related with each other. This is the full exposition of chapter number 15 actually, although I started with 16, but we went back into chapter number 15 because without it, the chapter number 16, 17, 18 cannot be fully understood. Chapter 16, 17 and 18 require the knowledge of the interrelationship of Brahman, Purusha and Ishvara. Then only you can understand chapter number 16, 17 and 18. So now we shall be ready for the next chapter. Alright.
How soon, Uncle? This class we got after 3 months.
This will be after 6 months.
No, Uncle. November 7th to February 10th.
How long?
I am so sorry.
I miss myself, you know. So,
if before you go to Auroville this time, you could give us one more.
I'll try to do so. I'll try my very best, certainly. Truly. I want to find one day more, because what I am doing now at present is incomplete statement. It is always injurious to leave statements incomplete. I would like to complete it. It is in this light that we have to understand the problem of bondage and liberation and perfection. Not only moksha, but for vimokshaya. That is the word of the 16th chapter.
Oh.
Vimokshaya. It is not only for moksha, but vimokshaya. That is, moksha is still surpassed. Vi means that which surpass, surpassing moksha. So going beyond moksha is perfection, is immortality. Not only to be liberated, but also to attain to immortality, so that your action becomes immortal.
Perfect.
Perfect, exactly. Action becomes perfect. All right.
Thank you. Isn't
it surprising that this being so clear, what Sri Aurobindo has expounded, still there are so many, you know, very intelligent, I would say very, very intelligent people, they're stuck to that, those philosophies.
That is true. That is because, you know, our tradition, first of all, is not fully understood by us. We don't understand ourselves, the tradition. We don't know the Holy Spirit. Here when I'm explaining that Veda says this, Upanishad says this, Gita says this, so you can see easily one line, but people don't understand. For example, most of the people have not read what I just now quoted from the Veda, Anyasa Chittam Apisancharinyam. It's only Sri Aurobindo has brought it out so that we can now understand it. But that is in the Veda. So, in the Ishopanishad, when he said tad ejati, tad na ejati, many people say, well, it is a way of saying that that which is moving is illusion, but tad na ejati, that is reality. Now you can interpret in any way you like, but it's an interpretation. Bhagavad Gita also is not understood. What is this kshara, akshara being one, Purushottama being the highest, what is this? It requires a lot of probing, in fact.
Because the way you are putting the Bhagavad Gita, it seems to be complete.
Yes, absolutely. You are right.
Several expositions, but somehow they are not satisfying.
Yes, you are right, absolutely. Only Sri Aurobindo makes Bhagavad Gita so intelligible. I tell you that when I read Bhagavad Gita for the first time, I was completely dissatisfied with the Gita. It is only when I read Sri Aurobindo and came back to the Bhagavad Gita that I understood Bhagavad Gita actually.
What do you recommend we read to get more clarity?
To get more clarity, absolutely
instilled and ingrained. And
you read a chapter called Brahman Purusha Ishvara in the Life Divine. Okay. All right, it's a very difficult chapter, but all the complexity is in this one chapter. It's called Brahman Purusha Ishvara. It's a long chapter, but it is the most luminous chapter, in fact. But many people who read it for the first time, they find it extremely obscure. Because without this background which I have given now, it may seem to be obscure. But now that if you read, it may not be so obscure, even though it's difficult. Anyway, this is the task that we have to do, no? To grasp the difficult, because reality is that. And this is here we are only to know that reality. So we have got to do it sooner or later. So we should really be absorbed in it.
So sometime I'd like to really know about all the gods and goddesses, and I'm really confused because there's so many gods and goddesses, and how they feature well, how it's...
No, it is like so many human beings and yet we are all God. So it is true, gods also are many.
Facets.
All are faces of the Divine. The eight faces of the diamond. All are faces. This analogy of diamond is very apt actually. How can reality be one and yet many? And how even the manyness does not therefore diminish the oneness. Diamond remains one diamond. Wherever you touch the facet, it is diamond. And yet diamonds, and yet you have multiplicity, complexity.
It's the partial vision that's the problem.
Yes.
Perfectly answered.
Absolutely, it's the partial vision that is the limitation. Very true.
Maybe peripheral.
Huh?
Maybe peripheral vision.
Yes, quite right. When you go into the depth, then all this will vanish. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, because I feel myself very happy.